Ewige Joy, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindige Joy. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Anigo. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 25, beginning with text 7. And most of the verses here have very short purports and no purports, so we're going to be reading quite a few purports of quite a few verses. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that's 10th canto, 25th chapter, text 7. Aham Chairavatam Nagam Aruyanu Vraje Vrajam Marud Ganair Maha Vigair Ananda Goshta Jigham Siha Aham Chairavatam Nagahum Aruyanu Vraje Aruyanu Vraje Vrajam Marut Ganar Mahave Gair Nanda Ghosta Jikam Siha Aham Chairavatam Nagahum Aruyanu Braje Brajam Rudganair Mahave Gair Nanda Ghosta Jigam Siha Aham Chairavatam Nagam Aruyanu Braje Brajam Marudganair Mahave Gair Nanda Ghosta Jigam Siha. Okay, anyone want to try? Aham
Jayavatam
Aham, I, cha, also, Airavatam, name, Airavata, Nagam, my elephant, Aruya, riding, Anubraje, will follow along. Brajam to Braja. Marukanahe, accompanied by the wind gods. Mahavigahai, who move with great power. Nanda Ghosta, the coward community of Nanda Maharaj. Jigam Seha, with the intent of destroying. So, translation, I will follow you to Braj, riding on my elephant Airavata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods to decimate the coward village of Nanda Maharaj. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the Samvartaka clouds were frightened by Indra's powerful mood and thus carried out his order as described in the following verse. So, very short purport, so we're going to keep reading these verses. Shri Sukruvachi Tangavata Vyapta Mega Nirmukta Bandhanaha Nanda Gokulam Asarai Pidayam Asurojasa. Shukadeva Goswami said, on Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction, released untimely from their bonds, went to the coward pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. So purport, the Samvartaka clouds could cover the entire earth with a single vast ocean. With great strength, these clouds began flooding the simple land of Braja. Vidyotamana vidyudbhui stananta stanayatnubihi tivrai marudganarnuna vavrishurjala sharkarava. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. So, purport. Srila Siddhartha Swami explains that the word Marud Ganahai indicates the seven great winds, such as Avaha, who presides over the region of Bhuvar Loka, and Pravaha, who holds the planets in their places. Actually, it's very interesting. These wind gods, actually, there's seven main ones, and there's 49 total wind gods, Maruts. And that's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the story goes as follows, that Diti, the mother of the demons, of the daityas, wanted to, basically, she wanted to have a son who would kill Indra. So she went to her husband, Kashyapa, and she said to her husband, Kashyapa, anyway, she acted real sweet. She said, my dear Kashyapa, I love you. You're such a good husband. So what do they say? Too much devotion is the sign of a thief. So whenever anyone approaches you, you know, really devotionally, like your wife, your husband, oh dear, or your daughter, and it's, oh, you're such a good father, such a good husband, so, oh, you're so handsome, or whatever, then say, oh my God, what do they want? So he became bewildered by her. And he said, all right, my dear Priya, whatever you want, I will give you. And she said, okay, I want a son who can kill Indra. Why did she want a son who would kill Indra? Because Indra, in one sense, is the head of the administrative demigods. And because of Indra, Krishna appears and kills the demons from time to time. And two demons particularly that were killed were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, her dear most beloved sons. So, anyway, so Kashyapa is thinking at that point, I made a big mistake. I should never give in to her again. But he made a promise. So he says to her, okay, I'll give you a different austerity to perform, Payavrata, and you should perform this very, very nicely. And if you make a mistake in performing this, you will have a child who will be the friend of Indra. All right. So what happened is that Indra, he began to serve his aunt, because that was his aunt. You understand? Because he's the son of Aditi. There's Diti and Aditi. Aditya, the demigods are called the Adityas, because they're born from Aditi. Anyway. So Indra began to serve Diti, his aunt, not his mother, and he was just looking for her to make a mistake. So, all right, so what happened is that she made a mistake. Basically, she took rest when she shouldn't have been taking rest. And he got really ecstatic. He thought, now I'm going to kill this kid who's supposed to be my enemy. So he enters into her womb, and he slices the kid up into seven parts. Like abortion. Called DNC. Anyway, for those of you who study medicine. And each of those seven parts, they become seven kids. And they start crying. Indra gets even more worried, and he thinks, now I got seven enemies. So he takes his thunderbolt again, and he cuts each one of those into seven pieces. You know, seven times seven? 49. And so he had 49. And actually, they were all born at that point, along with Indra. They all came out of Diti. And they became his friends. So these are the Maruts, the wind gods. So there's seven primary, and total is 49 Maruts. Actually, there's a very famous person who's called Maruti. Who's that?
Hanuman.
He's the son of Vayu. Vayu is actually in charge of all the wind gods. You understand? He's Vayuputra. Therefore, he's called Maruti. But these were also Marutis also. But in any case. So anyway, so they were friends with Indra. They were associates with Indra. That's why they listened to Indra. Okay. Enough history. So we'll go on. Astuna stula vashadara munchas vabreshva bhikshana nashaha dalag khair plavyamana bur nadrishyata natonatam. As the clouds released torrents of rain as thick as massive columns, the earth was submerged in the flood, and the high ground could no longer be distinguished from low. Text 11. Atyasaratibhatena pashavau jatavepanaha gopa gopa agopyascha ashitarta govindam sharanam yayahu. The cows and other animals shivering with the excessive rain and wind, and the coward men and ladies pained by the cold, all approached Lord Govinda for shelter. Okay. Shirasutam shakayena pachadasara pittitaha vipamana bhagavata padamulam upayayahu. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall and trying to cover their heads and calves with their own bodies, the cows approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 13. Krishna, Krishna, Manabhaga, Twanatam Gokulam Prabho, Tratumarhasi Devana, Kupitad Bhaktavatsala. The coward men and women addressed the Lord. Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. So purport. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Gargamuni had predicted, Anena Sarva Durgani Uyam Anjas Tharishyatha, Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 16. By his grace, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. The residents of Vrindavan were confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Sri Narayan would empower Krishna to protect them. They accepted Krishna as everything, and Krishna reciprocated their love. And finally, we'll read text 14, and we'll talk about that. Shilavarshativatena ahanyamanam chaitanam nirikshabhagavan mene kupitendra kritam harihi. Seeing the inhabitants of his Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. So, purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food. And thus hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt a type of distress at the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. So, Om Ganat Timirandasha, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, I'd like to address a broader topic here, not only this particular pastime, but basically what happens to all the devotees of the Lord. Actually, I can't think of a story of a devotee of the Lord that wasn't subjected to severe distress. Actually, that may be discouraging for all of you. You may think, I'm in the wrong movement. Tomorrow is Durga Puja. Right? Am I right? Durga Puja. Tomorrow is Durga Puja. This Hari means he who takes things away. Anyway, we've had enough of him. So that was brought forth in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita story, where Narada Muni is traveling to various devotees, and he's glorifying each one as being the best devotee of the Lord. So at one juncture of this story, he approaches Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, and he glorifies them. He says, you are the best devotees because Krishna, Krishna is your buddy, Arjuna. And Krishna resides with you. He protects you always. And Yudhisthira Maharaj responds in a very intelligent fashion. He says, we're not such great devotees because anyone who hears our story will not want to be a devotee. The story of the Pandavas, pretty heavy story. You have Kunti, who is basically a pure devotee of Krishna, and you have Draupadi, who is called Krishna, because she's a friend, she's Saki, she's a friend of Krishna. Krishna's always addressing her as Saki, my dear friend. Not girlfriend, but just a friend. And look what happened to all these great devotees of the Lord. They lost their father right after they were born, basically. And then they were tortured in the kingdom of Dhritarashtra, attempted murder many times. Then when they went on vacation to Varnavat, their house burned down. Then they had to go into hiding for some time. Then one of them, Bhimsen, had to marry a Rakshasini. She was beautiful. Anyway, it's either that or get eaten. I guess you had a choice, marry me or become my dinner. You know, you probably wouldn't get married. So, so many things like the gambling match and attempted disrobbing of Draupadi. Then you have this battle of Kurukshetra in which they had to kill their relatives and grandfather, you know, and teachers, guru. And then they lose their children, all their children dead. There's only one grandchild alive by Krishna's mercy, but you know, all your children killed. I mean, it's pretty heavy, isn't it? Parents are really attached to children. So can you imagine that? You know, like, you're just serving Krishna, doing what he says, and all your children are killed. And your guru, you kill your guru. And you know, and cousin brothers, that's all right. They're disposable. Because they were really nasty creeps. But anyway, so. And then, so that's a really discouraging, you know, if you hear about, this is what happens when you join the Hare Krishna movement. When Arjuna joined the Hare Krishna movement, he had to do all these things. And even when he was arguing with Krishna, Krishna convinced him, yeah, better to do all these things. So Yudhisthira Maharaj said to Narada Muni, he said, you know, whenever anyone hears our story, they don't want to be devotees. He said, plus, he said, Krishna only comes and gives us his association when we're in trouble. Otherwise, you know, he's not with us. So that can be really discouraging, isn't it? And then you take Krishna's greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, right? Krishna's greatest devotee. And what does Krishna do? He leaves her, you know, she's like 16 years old, madly in love with Krishna, all the gopis do, madly in love with Krishna, and Krishna just goes away. And he gets married to some ladies in Dwarka, you know. You know, and she's thinking, Krishna won't be attracted to us anymore. He's now with these sophisticated ladies in Dwarka. We're just simple village cowherds. So for like over 125 years, she's there in Vrindavan, just feeling separation. And you know, if that wasn't bad enough, you know, I'm speaking a little humorously now. Then you have when Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a similar thing happens. He leaves his wife when she's 16 years old, and takes sannyas. And she's lamenting her whole life, and all, just for every, like, japa, or every Hare Krishna she chants, she gets one grain of rice. Could any of you do that? Of course, you'd probably chant a lot more rounds. I told you, for only one mantra, you can only have one grain of rice. You'd probably be chanting 192 rounds a day. So Lord Chaitanya left her. She never saw him again. And then you have, you know, that wasn't bad enough. Then you have Lord Ramchandra doing the same thing. She was 16 and pregnant. And then it doesn't just leave her, he drops her off in the forest. Oh my God. What kind of God is this, isn't it? He just drops her off in the forest, and there she is, experiencing separation. Finally, when he agrees to let her back after, you know, the kids are a little older, he asks her, he insults her. He says, you should attest to your chastity. And she gets so upset, you know, at this point she can't stand it anymore. She calls for the Mother Earth to come and take her away from this horrible place. And she's greatest devotee, Sita Devi, you know, she says to the Mother Earth that if I have never thought of anyone else other than my Ram, you should come and take me away. So it's understood that she was completely dedicated. Like, not like the modern day ladies, you know, they think of this man, you know, that man, and, or the man, they think of this woman, right? They're watching the other women go by and think, oh, I should have married her. Why did I make that mistake? So, or I should have married him. You know, what a mistake I made. It's too late now. So, I mean, this is chastity. And look what happens. And there's other stories of regular devotees, too, you know, how they're put into extreme distress by the Lord. I was reading this story the other day about this associate of Lord Chaitanya named Gopinath Patanayaka. It's a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he was a tax collector, and he was working for Maharaj Prataparudra, collecting taxes, and somehow or other he kept a little bit too much. He kept a little bit too much of the taxes. And so the king brought him and he said, how are you going to pay what you owe? And he said, you know, please take some of my horses. So he brought his horses out, and the king's son said, these horses, you know, he undervalued the horses. And the king's son had a little quirk of looking up in the sky like that. And this Gopinath Patanayaka, he said, my horses don't look up in the sky like you, prince. And so he insulted the prince, and the prince thought, well, we've got to get the money from him, and I'm really angry with him. So we put him on what's called the chunga to scare him or even kill him. A chunga is like a platform. That's how they used to kill criminals in the old days. They would have a platform and then swords underneath the platform. And they would push someone onto the sword. The swords were facing up. And when you were pushed onto it, you had, obviously, it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't like going to sleep at night on a bed. It was death. So he was pushed there, put there, and then his brother's name was Vaninath Roy, was put there. And these are the brothers of Ramananda Roy. And it's interesting that Ramananda Roy and his brothers are the incarnations of the Pandavas and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And their father, Bhavananda Roy, is Pandu himself. So all these are pure devotees. And so he's put there, and his brother's put there, and they're getting ready just to push him off. And then he really starts chanting his rounds well. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He didn't have his japa beads, so he had to count on both hands. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I mean, you really chant good japa in a situation like that, isn't it? Just like when I'm sitting in the car and someone's driving, I think I say my best japa when, it's not the fault of Parmeshwar, but sometimes a car like cuts in front of us. It's not his fault. Sometimes, you know, there's real crazy drivers here in Fiji. So a car goes, Hare Krishna! So in this way, whatever rascal cut us off is helping me chant japa better. So, people often ask me, you know, why do you do that? I said, well, it's obvious why I do it. You know, when you're in danger, you have to train your mind to go, Hare Krishna, not, ah! The ladies all go, ah! If you do that at the time of death, then you just become another lady in your next life. So you should chant Hare Krishna. So anyway, so getting back to the story. So the devotees, they went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your devotees are being thrown into this, you know, the chunga, they're going to die. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, what do they do? And they explained. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, they have to pay their debts. You know, this is their karma, basically. He didn't say that, but he said they have to pay their debts. The king is doing the right thing. And he said, don't bother me. If you bother me with these mundane people, I'm leaving. So everybody got really scared. But Lord Chaitanya eventually said, if you really want to save them, pray to Lord Jagannath. So anyway, by Lord Chaitanya's knowing about these things, they got saved. Because there was this other devotee, Kashi Mishra, who informed the king that, hey, these great devotees are going to be killed, and the king was a great devotee. Oh, so then they were saved by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, but the point is they were actually chanting nicely. What happened is that Kashi Mishra revealed to the king that Lord Chaitanya loves these devotees, and then the king actually not only forgave them, but gave them more money. Anyway, so the point I'm making by this particular story, and as many stories, is that the pain that Krishna puts his devotees in increases the bhav that the devotees have for Krishna. And for those who are not pure, it helps them understand the nature of this world. Like if everything went well, you would become bewildered and you wouldn't want to be Krishna conscious. You know, you have the perfect weather all the time, perfect family members who always listen to you, perfect business, you always made a lot of money. Forget about Krishna. Who needs him? Right? If everything just goes perfectly. I was just visiting Hawaii. It's very difficult to find serious devotees because everything is so beautiful. It's a vacation spot. It's like Fiji without all the problems. You know, very, anyway, it's beautiful. So therefore Krishna says, Yashaho Managurinami, Hariche Tadanamshanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away things, I put them in trouble. I give them pain, whether it's adhyatmik, adibodhik, or adidaivik pain. You understand? Adhyatmik, pain from the body and the mind, pain from other living entities, and pain from the material nature in general. So this helps us. That's for people who are not yet Krishna conscious, okay? So there's two groups of devotees. One, devotees who are not Krishna conscious yet, and then Krishna's just like really sharpening our edge. Just like you take a knife, if you want to sharpen a knife, you've got to rub it against a stone and grind out certain things. So Krishna's grinding out our impurities. And then for the pure devotees, it's actually more than Krishna just grinding out the impurities. It's Krishna deepening their bhava relationship with Krishna. For example, let's say I talked about Radharani and Vishnu Priya and Sita Devi. It actually deepens their love. Which you may say they already love Krishna, or they love Brahma, or they love Lord Chaitanya. But it deepens the love. Because the love that is experienced in the spiritual realm can be expanded unlimitedly. It's not like the love in this world, you understand? I probably gave the example. When you have a light, let's say a torch, you call it a torch, a flashlight, whatever you call it here. In India, you call it a torch. What do you call it here? Torch? Okay. Actually, a torch literally is something that has fire on it. So, modern English is flashlight. Anyway, so let's say you have a flashlight, or nowadays people don't have flashlights, they just have lights on their phone. So it's even more modern. Phone lights. Anyway, so let's say you have a light, probably gives this example, and you shine it inside a box. It doesn't go very far. But if you shine it, Prabhupada said, in space, it goes forever. So Prabhupada said, this is the beginning of a Krishna book, Prabhupada explains. We have a loving propensity. And when we invest it in things of this world, it gets frustrated after some time. You know, it's just not, it just, we want it to go on forever and ever and ever. But it's a eternal love, everlasting love. Anyway. And so, but with Krishna, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And so therefore, with Krishna, Ram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's all these different facets of love. It's not just like, hi, I'm with you. It's separation. It's Purva Rag, which means just coming to see you. I mean, it's anticipation. It's like when you're anticipating to see someone you really love. There's a special ras there, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to see them. You know, sometimes people feel like that with the guru, but after a while, I wish he was gone. Anyway, so he makes me. Anyway, but really, it's anticipation. You're someone you haven't seen for a while. So there's that anticipatory anxiety. And then when you're with the person, there's the anxiety that it's going to end. And then when it ends, your anxiety because you're separated from the person. So that's love. Love basically means to be in anxiety most of the time. When there's real love, isn't it? And Krishna does that. Even when Krishna was with him in Vrindavan, Krishna sometimes disappeared from the gopis. And they were looking for him, and they were imitating his activities, feeling great separation. That's love. So Krishna's devotees taste all these different aspects of love. And you find this described in Rupa Goswami's description of the bhavas. I mean, even fear, I mean, indirect fear, just like we hear it here, fear, anger, humor, these are all different indirect rasas. And so the devotees love that. I mean, just like even if you're eating some prasada, sometimes you like some prasada that's extremely spicy and even painful, right? You put enough chilies in. I remember Prabhupada taught me to cook, and they have so many chilies in the dal. When you put it in, the devotees would run out. When you put the chaunce in, you call it chunk, anyway. When you put we probably call it chaunce. When you put it in, everybody runs outside, and when you drink it, it's like fire comes out of your ears. You haven't tasted the dal like Prabhupada makes it. And so that's unpleasant. But you enjoy. Or people go sometimes to these amusement parks and their body is subjected to, I mean, bungee jumping or something like that, or centrifuge, or a roller coaster, you know, and they're screaming. Right? Isn't it a roller coaster? Anyone's been on a roller coaster before? No. I have. And when you're going down, it's, ah! You're scared. And so you enjoy that. So spiritually, which is the original source of all these different rasas, there's enjoyment. And it's just deepening the love. And with Krishna, the separation, or Ram, or Chaitanya, Guru, the separation brings the person closer together because the person is non-different from the feelings of separation. In the material world, separation is separation. And even meeting is separation. Because you're not really with the person. For example, you can say, Maharaj, I see you. No, you don't. You can't see me. Impossible. You're not with me. I'm a soul. I have a spiritual body. Can you see my spiritual body? If you can't, let me know. I need the information right now. But you can't see me. But with Krishna, there's connection. All the time. It's always connect sambandha. It's connection. You understand? These are actually symptoms of ecstasy that the devotees in Braj are feeling when they're saying, Krishna, Krishna. Because they know Krishna's going to save them. They have complete faith in Krishna. And they're just seeing this as another opportunity to deepen their love for Krishna. So, anyway, this is the explanation. But, you know, in the case of every devotee, there's going to be these experiences. Don't get discouraged. Because Krishna won't give you more than you can handle. Don't worry. Krishna's not going to arrange for you to be in a gamble and have drug into the middle of an assembly and have your clothes taken away. He's not going to do that. Because you're not ready for it. But Draupadi was ready. And therefore Krishna, she understood, these husbands will never protect me. They're sitting there. Five strong men, you know, Bhimsen, who could lift mountains, stronger than millions of elephants. He's also a Vayuputra. And her husband, they're just powerless sitting there, where their wife is going to be disrobed. And she understands, oh, Krishna is my only shelter. This is really the point. Krishna is my only shelter. Also, when the Durvasa Muni was coming, and she had already eaten out of that pot, you know that story. She said, Krishna is my only. And she said, Krishna, Krishna. And then Krishna said, here I am. What can I do for you? And he said, I'm hungry too. And she said, uh-oh. And he found a little grain of rice, ate the grain of rice, and Durvasa Muni and his associates, their bellies blew up, you know. they weren't hungry anymore. So that's really the point. Krishna, you know, that's our only shelter. We have no other shelter in this world other than Krishna. And it's pure devotees, of course. And so Krishna's bringing us to that point, and Krishna's deepening the devotees, and it's ecstatic. I mean, I tell you, the Pandavas, they were experiencing ecstasy, although externally it appears misery. And Radharani's experiencing ecstasy. Don't think that Krishna is making Radharani unhappy. He would never do such a thing. He's controlled by Radharani. He's Madan. She's Madan Mohan Mohini. So this is just increasing the happiness. Because if everything's dull, there's no happiness. Actually, the greatest misery is boredom. Isn't it? That's the greatest misery. Okay. Any questions, Lord Nityananda? Yeah. He's not a pure devotee. Yeah. Because he's a Sakama devotee. Haven't you seen even devotees in the temple get angry with each other sometimes? And yell at each other? You've never seen it? Yeah. Did you ever yell at your wife? Are you a devotee? So that means not yet pure devotee. Not yet pure devotee. Or demigods are generally Sakama devotees. They have some desire. And so that if you have some desire, you're going to succumb from some Sometimes you're going to succumb to anger or lust or greed or things like that. It's just natural. That's an anartha. And gradually, you stick to the path, these things are taken away. But there has to be some pain in having things taken away. Like you go to a dentist, every dentist tells you that it's not going to hurt. And it always hurts. Right? Then to say, this is pain. I'm a painless dentist. Oh, yeah. This is like saying Yamaraj doesn't cause pain. Anyway. But, you know, it's to take away the pain, the infection in your tooth. So, that, you know, there's some pain. And that, I mean, we all experience pain. I mean, of course, the most intense pain is emotional pain. Physical pain is bad, really bad. But emotional pain is like having knives stuck in your heart. It's really like that. Like sometimes when a disciple leaves Krishna consciousness, it's like having a knife stuck in my heart. People don't understand the position of guru. It's like having a knife. Oh, you're lamenting. Anyway, we're emotional entities. We're not computers. And we're meant to experience intense emotions. Okay, on that happy note, does anyone want to leave Krishna consciousness now after this course? All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.